Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Leanne, and we're going to talk a little bit about markets in a minute, but thank you for joining us on More Than Money on 770 CHQR. And, you know, an interesting show that we did today, and the only thing I want to say, I want to rehash it all, but is there's a number of different components to retirement, right? And even within the investment portfolio, there's a number of different components. We spent a lot of time on fixed income and the craziness there. We had another really wild week in the equity markets after a pretty punishing September.
Well, I think the surprise was is that we were up for 3 days. We had a 3-day rally.
Well, and not just up, but substantially, right? I mean, we had a 1,500-point move in 2 days in the Dow. And maybe let's touch on that, because we often talk about volatility and that implies down, right? But volatility is both up and down.
Right.
So given that we're in an environment of high volatility, and given that we've seen, like, when the market snaps back, you see these very sharp increases. What does that sort of speak to in terms of market timing and you know, what investors need to be aware of given the environment we're in?
Well, what it really speaks to is that it cuts both ways.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you're one of those people that worries about rapid drops in the market and you exit the market because of those, that also means you are likely going to miss those rapid upsides.
Right.
So what does that then do to your portfolio if you're missing recovery days?
You know, and we've encouraged, we've done pieces on this in the past, but I would encourage anybody to remind themselves to do the research around the best trading days, the impact of the best trading days on portfolio performance over time. And it is shocking and scary how precise you have to be on your timing. Because if you miss any of those top days in a year or a 5-year period, right, it materially reduces the total return profile. And that's an issue that many, many investors have experienced in the past where they've made emotional decisions. So I thought this was a very interesting week given that very sharp snapback, right? Mm-hmm. So pessimistic coming out of September and then bang, the first 2 days of October. Now, who knows where we're going to end up for the quarter? Certainly, there are some real problems. We can talk about those a little bit. But I think it's worth reminding ourselves that your strategy, whatever your strategy is, it has to be time in the market, right? I don't care what the strategy is. It's time in the market. And be very, very careful about switching strategies at the wrong time.
And trying to time it at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because I think that's the most dangerous piece, where if you say to yourself, oh, I'll just get back in when it's at the bottom, calling the bottom is almost impossible.
Yeah, well, the official bottom will be called generally 6 months after. That's how difficult it
exactly.
is, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I thought, we're in an environment now that's a bit confusing for people because often good news is bad news. And I'll give you a good example. On Friday, we were talking about the jobs numbers came out for the U.S. and for Canada. And the initial reaction in the markets on Friday was a negative interpretation of it, which is interesting. Like the jobs numbers, both economies created jobs, but a little bit more than expected. But close enough that I would say in line with expectations. Unemployment rates both went down a little bit. There's some issues around participation, who's looking for jobs. And then we had wages either coming in line or below expectations, which generally is a good thing. That's what central banks need to see, is some of that wage pressure coming out of the inflation equation. But you know, market's initial reaction was negative to that, and it probably is pricing now. You know, the market is pricing in this notion that we need solid beats, like we need to see some sharp pullback in those areas for it to be good news. Now, again, the trading days are long, and you know, trust me, whatever the morning represents doesn't necessarily mean that's how the day is going to end. But I think that that people need to be very careful about the interpretation of single data points. And we really are looking for trends now. And I think that's what central banks, if you're a central bank follower, that's what they're looking for.
Not just looking for trends, but when the notion of bad news is good news, I think is an interesting one for most people. Rob and I were having a conversation with a client this week, and we were talking about the fact that it has to hurt for a little bit.
Yeah.
What the central banks are actually trying to do is cause a little bit of pain to consumers, just enough for us to say, that's too expensive. I'm not going to spend that.
Right.
Because that is ultimately what is going to slow the economy down and get inflation headed downward.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I think that's a really good point. And in a premature rally in the market, which we saw in the summers, or in the summer, was a welcome breather for people. But it is, again, it's not, to your point, what central banks need to see. And some of this likely historically we'll look back and say, you know, central banks put on a bit of a poker face, right? So they can influence us as consumers in a couple of ways. They can raise interest rates, which makes things more expensive, takes, you know, mortgages more expensive, those kinds of things. But they can also scare people into saying, we're really going to, you know, we're going to jack rates up. Now, they may or may not have to do that. But trust me, we talk to lots of people. Just the fear of that happening is often enough to have people, okay, I'm a bit uncertain and I got to slow down a little bit here. That in and of itself will take some of that inflationary pressure out.
Exactly. It's that fear and the slowing in the spending.
Right.
It's maybe a little bit of worry about pain.
Right. Right. Yeah. And listen, I think we're going to be a broken record on this one for a little while. I don't think there's a lot of confusion now about what is influencing the markets. The uncertainty, of course, is we don't know how far rates are yet to move. And the market is concerned about that from a recessionary perspective, right? I would say on balance, the risks are increasing that we will face a recession in North America. It doesn't necessarily mean there'll be, you know, they'll coincide with each other, US, Canada, not really talking about Mexico, sort of developed market stuff here. Mm-hmm. But the risks are increasing. I would say on the balance of probabilities still says it's a shallow recession or a no recession mm-hmm. versus a deep recession, but it's not a zero probability that it's a deep recession. And so I would expect that we continue to see, you know, some headlines where people are in that camp, and you'll have headlines all over the place. And I can't tell you, and you as well, I've had so many conversations with people to say, you know, if you're reading negative headlines, your social media feed is going to feed you that stuff. You're going to seek it out as validation to your thinking, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Pause and look at the other side. I remember sending articles to a client just this past week and said, here, read the other side of the argument. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting conversation follow up. Well, hey, you know, everybody, we're all over the place. Nobody seems to know. That's true.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. Nobody knows where we're going to end up. Mm-hmm. So how does that fit into your overall strategy? What risks are you going to mitigate? That's the conversation you want to be having with your advisor.
That's right.
Okay. I think we need to put this together for people, right? Mm-hmm. And we try to do that every single month. And we'd love to have you out because we'll have an opportunity to talk about how you structure retirement to get through all different kinds of cycles that you're going to face. And happy to have a full Q&A, right, for questions that you've got for us in this particular environment. Mm-hmm. So why don't we invite everybody to that?
So we're having our next retirement seminar where we'll be talking about this process and structure and the markets and where we think they're headed. On Tuesday, October 25th, mm-hmm. 7 p.m., that's live either online or you can attend in person and chat with us there at the Carriage House Inn here in Calgary. You can register for that by going to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register, and we hope you can join us there.
Well, Leanna, I want to thank you for joining me for your very first More Than Money. I think you did a fabulous job. I appreciate it. It's fun. I look forward to doing more than with you.
Thanks for having me on, Dave.
All right. On behalf of Leanna and myself, Dave, I want to thank you for tuning in to another edition of More Than Money on 770CHQR. We look forward to chatting with you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.